One of the benefits of being a member of TF Metals Report is you have access to a daily podcast that's usually posted by about 6 o'clock Eastern Time each day. That's a summary of the day's events and a look ahead to the next day. Here's just a brief snippet of some of what was discussed on Monday, October the 12th. All right, here's your gold chart and your first look at base camp number one. Again, getting above 1920, holding above 1920 today. Now, if we reverse and close down $9 tomorrow at 1918, it's not the end of the world. But I would prefer to stay above 1920 and eventually move to tackle a 50-day moving average that's now moving down. Again, as this 50-day moving average comes out of the corner of the screen, look how it was support in June when we reversed on June the 5th. Notice how it was support for 2 weeks until it was violently smashed on purpose 3 weeks ago today. So getting back above it would be significant. Getting back, and you can eyeball this yourself, getting back above 1980 then would be the next target once we're able to set base camp number two. You can also see this in silver, though the lines are more horizontal. Like I said earlier in this podcast, in late July, 6 days. And we moved from 20 to 25 in 6 days, then spent 6 days unable to get through 25. And a lot of folks thought, that's a blow off. Yeah. And then once we got through 25 on about the second day of August, boom, 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 4 days later, we were above 30. Okay, I saw some stuff on Twitter last night. Okay, here we go. Because we're back above 25 again. But again, forgetting that today was a bank holiday and nothing ever happens on bank holidays, or rarely does anything ever happen. So now we're going to see what happens tomorrow. And tomorrow was Tuesday, October the 13th. Here's just a brief part of what we discussed that day. You know, this is basically the same chart I showed you yesterday, the importance of the 50-day moving average, okay? See the arrows? Okay, again, this is all algo stuff, right? I mean, this is all momentum and algo stuff. Notice that when price is above the 50-day and above the trend, the dip below the 50-day is often bought. Okay, see the first arrow at the end of January? 1 day dip below, big green candle the next. See the one in late March? 1 day dip below, big green candle the next. Middle of April, 1 day dip below, big green candle the next. May, which looks a lot like this last 3 days. One big green red candle dip below, 1 day sideways, and then big green candle the next. Okay. Look at what we have at present. Big red candle, dip below, 1 day sideways, big green candle the next. So I think we have to assume now that we're probably going to stay above the 50-day moving average, at least for a while, maybe a week or two, maybe all the way to the election even. What we're really looking for, and what will be coming, is what you see there in late May. Red candle dip below, and then two or three more days below, a rally that tries to get back above it and then fails. And then once you take out those earlier lows, man, it's off to the freaking races, okay? There's hope that that's what could have happened today. You know, we'd follow even farther down. And we think, okay, yeah, we're definitely back below the 50-day now. Here we go. Unfortunately, no. Again, beginning at the Asia Open last night, there was a bid. Clear attempt, it seems to me, to drive it back higher. So I got to figure, again, look at these periods of bouncing from February through May. It was maybe, 2 weeks at a time. It would bounce back above before coming back down and testing it again. A week or two. Again, we are building a base. It took us 90 days last year to do this before we surged higher again. God is my witness, think we're going back to 2000 before the end of the year. And we'll be talking on, you know, at Christmas and at New Year's. Can we finish the year with a two? You know, wrap up with another new quarterly closing high, all that kind of stuff. That's where we're going. It's just that, God, that seems like forever from here because it's only October the 13th. Here's your audio highlight from Wednesday, October 14th. Like I said, we have kind of some good news, maybe an indicator from an unusual source, because as you know, since last year, we've gone through this process of gold breaking out, Maybe putting a cup on a cup and handle on the chart and then moving higher. Got through 1550 and off to the races. And then it was GDX breaking out through 32, pulling back, off to the races higher. Then it was GDXJ, and we said, well, silver is eventually going to follow, and it did. Blew through 18, blew through 22, all the way to 29, almost 30. Well, guess what? We're sitting here now talking about the 50-day moving average being the next place we want to go to and set up a base camp, right? Maybe that'll drive some human-based traders, all that kind of stuff. And we've been talking about how in gold, that's up there above 1950, and silver, it's up there above 26, and we got a little ways to go and all that kind of stuff. And we noted yesterday that even the GDX, not quite there yet. Well, guess what is? The GDXJ. So we'll start with that today, because it's the GDXJ that rode its 50-day, rode it as support then in June in the pullback after the last set of earnings in May. Then we're on all the way up from 42 to 66. Man, that's a 50% move in 6 weeks. Pulled back after the last set of earnings in August for the second quarter. Was riding it just fine and looking good a month ago until, of course, that smash 3 weeks ago. Gapping down a couple of times, breaking down through the 50-day for the first time since March, and looking like, oh boy, are we in trouble now, just a couple of weeks ago at 52. But now, see that arrow? That, to me, looks like a very successful break of the 50-day. And why do I say that? Again, this is just from doing this. Really my whole life, but specifically for the last 10 years. You come back up. If you're going to fail at the 50-day, you're going to go up there. See that big green candle from back on Friday? Okay, then you're going to fall back like yesterday. And instead of a hammer thingy like we got yesterday, we're going to go out on the lows. And then we're going to fall back even further today. But that's not what happened. We broke through on Friday, kind of held above on Monday, plunged below yesterday only to recover and close basically right at the 50-day. And then we surge higher today. Like I said, GDXJ now up $1.22 today at 59.47. That to me looks like a very successful break higher up and through the 50-day, which is what we'd expect given, you know, all these earnings are coming in the next 2 or 3 weeks. The next, I guess, main thing we'll watch is that trend line from early August. We almost got there today. By Friday, that trend line is going to be right around 60-ish. Except we're only 59.47. If I'm right, hey, if we get this break with the dollar index, if we get the metals to rally back later this week, why wouldn't the GDXJ blast through this trend line, maybe even close up near 62? Wouldn't that be fun? Because again, we haven't closed at 62 or above since early August. So those are the targets we have coming up. Is GDXJ leading the way? We'll look at GDX next. Thursday brought a discussion of some of the important fundamental factors that will drive gold and silver prices in 2021. Now, we know negative real rates are important and that they correlate with gold long term. But, you know, we've never really dealt with negative nominal rates prior to the last 10 years or so. This is a whole new phenomenon. And negative nominal rates, I've said in the past, might be the most important fundamental ever created. Why? Because a lot of people don't think about inflation. I mean, if you're educated, and I've tried to educate you all on this, I mean, you want to factor that in. You always want to look at your real return in terms of what is your return versus your loss of purchasing power over time, okay? But a lot of folks don't look at that. They just look at the nominal rate, okay? I get 10 basis points on my one-year CD now, you know, where I used to get 5%. That's quite a loss in nominal interest, right? So negative nominal rates are actually one of, if not the most powerful fundamental rationale for owning gold that's ever been developed. And why? Because why don't you own gold? Well, all it does is collect dust, and it doesn't pay a dividend, right? Well, if you can counter gold with an investment in a bond or a CD or any other interest rate bearing thing, you know that maybe your currency is being devalued by your central bank. And at the same time, this just to own the government bond or to keep your money in the European bank, you have to pay them? Why in the hell? What? I got 100,000 euros here. Not only are my euros being devalued by the ECB, but I got to pay whatever, 500 euros a year to this bank just for the honor of them holding my money? How does that work? I think I'll just buy some gold. I know it doesn't pay a dividend, but at least it's going up in value. And no dividend beats the hell out of negative interest rates, right? Okay, well, we've kind of gotten away from discussing negative nominal rates because, I mean, there's just so many other things going on, so let's get back to it. Stockpile of debt now with a negative yield. Peaked out, this was about, what, in 2019, late 2019, up there on $18 trillion. Then it plunges this year, you know, with everything else was going in March, and now it's moving back up again. As Holger Jeschpitz points out, it's now back up to $16.3 trillion worth of securities and the like with a negative yield. It's the highest since April of last year, and only $800 billion high off the all-time high. All you need is rates to come down again. And then Octavio Costa, I don't know. I'm going to have to meet this guy sometime to figure out how to pronounce all this stuff. Here he's showing it a different way. He's got a trend line. And he says major breakout, $16.5 trillion in negative yielding bonds now poised to set a new record. Huge support building for a bullish case, gold and silver. Exactly. So again, these are all reasons why I keep imploring you to focus on the big picture. Do not chase. Do not time. Be right. Sit tight. All that stuff. And here's your Friday morning update for October 16th, 2020. Okay, we're kind of back to fighting the same pattern that we've been up against since the middle of August today, where the dollar is pretty much driving everything. This is indicative of just kind of a lack of regular human participation in the COMEX market. It's mainly just HFT computers that are driving things at this point, and they buy or sell gold and silver futures based upon whether the dollar index is moving up or down. Nothing else matters. And where do the human traders go? I think a lot of folks at this point are just simply laying low, unwilling to take any substantial bets prior to the U.S. election, which now is coming up in just over 2 weeks. So what type of things will we be looking for to end this pattern? Well, we got some of it yesterday. Because yesterday, on Thursday, gold actually rallied while the dollar index moved higher as well. That tells you right there, you're getting some human being, carbon-based traders re-entering the COMEX and making some bets based off fundamental factors, not just simply this HFT domination. Now, the fact that we're back to that HFT domination today just kind of signals a continuation of the pattern. And I would imagine it'll stay this way for the next couple of weeks. But that's what we'll be looking for, you know, getting away from this just straight HFT domination to getting back to focusing on the important things like negative nominal rates, negative real rates, the stimulus package that'll be coming, the increased deficit spending. All of those factors will be taken into account again once we get this election behind us. But for today, we'll just try to finish the week at least a little better than it looked back on Tuesday. And maybe the one thing that we'll try to watch into the end of the day is the GDXJ. That was mentioned a couple of days ago. It is still flirting with its 50-day moving average. It would be nice if it could close the day above the 50-day moving average. Today, for that closed-end fund, that 50-day can be found at 5805. And so that'll be a level to watch into the close.